Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. Thank God for you, you, and especially you. I'm excited once again to be able to share with you from the Word of God what He has to say to us, His people. You know, people of God, God loves us so much. We really cannot even fathom how much He loves us. I don't care really what you are going through and what you are dealing with. Know that every day that you open up your eyes, that you're still here, that you weren't consumed, that the enemy didn't take you out. You have to understand, sometimes we get caught up in the situations and the circumstances that are going on around us. And people of God, do understand this. Hear my heart when I do say this. I know that there are some situations that are very bad that you may be in the middle of, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this, but I'm trusting you, God. And you know what? Because you are trusting Him and you're having faith in what He says about you and your destiny, know that He is bringing you closer to your exit. Know that He's bringing you closer to your victory. Even if the enemy is trying to take you up out of here, know that His word, God's word, is greater than any word that man can say or the enemy can say. Know that you have the victory. And I want you to realize that the power of the Most High God, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of you. You cannot give up now. I preached a message some years ago saying quitting is not an option. For some of us, people of God, you have to realize that the greatest test produces the greatest victory. But you have to win the battle within yourself first. And once you realize that the battle is won on the inside of you, can't no devil in hell around you, in front of you, behind you, in your past or your potential future can stop you. Power, the Bible says, and you know the verse that I always quote, and I'm going to keep quoting it until you get it down in your spirit. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to begin to speak life. You got to realize that your situation, or I should say, you don't bow down to your situation. Your situations have to bow down to the authority that Christ has placed on the inside of you. It's not in your own strength. It's not in your own power. It's in the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ. It's the anointing that destroys every yoke. Get it in your spirit, man and woman of God. It's the anointing that He has put upon your life that destroys every yoke. It's the anointing that the enemy is after. That's why he attempts, notice I said the word, attempts, tries to take you out, but he fails every time. Now, you may be getting weary. You may be tired. You may be saying, God, I don't know. See, like every time I turn around, it's another situation after another situation. You have to really get it in your soul. If he's trying to do this, if the enemy's trying to do this, what is it? What anointing? What purpose do I have on my life that he's trying to forfeit? The purpose, the challenge is, people of God, is that we don't forfeit. We have to keep going forward. We have to stand strong. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And I do challenge you, amen, to surround yourself with men and women of God, prayer warriors, intercessors. Get yourself around somebody that is praying for you. When you're weak, amen, they will allow you to be strong. He'll undergird you on his wings of mercy. Don't allow the enemy to isolate you and trap you and make you think it's you and you're by yourself and don't nobody care. Oh, Jesus cares. That's why your eyes are opening up every day to see a new day and a brand new mercy that he's bestowed upon you. You are a winner. You are victorious. You are the victor and not the victim. And I just want to encourage you on this day. This day, I want you to know this is the day that the Lord has made. You must rejoice and you must be glad in it. Amen. You have purpose, child of God. You have purpose. And the enemy knows you have purpose. You got to overcome. You got to push through. You got to prevail because there's somebody or bodies that is waiting on the other side of this situation that need you to pull them through, that have, or I should say, you have their deliverance, you have their healing, you have the prophetic word in your hand or in your mouth, and they need you. That's why you got to survive. You got to overcome. I don't care if you have to crawl out of it on your hands and feet, but you got to overcome this thing. Whatever your this is, you must overcome it so that you can give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I just wanted to just encourage you, someone out there on this evening, that it is not over. It's not over. And I'm here to push you. Every day that you tune in or whenever you tune in, the Lord leads you, I'm here to push you to that next place. Because I know that there's a purpose. I know that there's a design. I don't care what you look like. I don't care where you came from. You have divine purpose that God has destined for you to fulfill his kingdom assignment on your life. Listen, let me go into the announcements real quick, and then I want to get right into this word of encouragement. As you already know, please go to our website, www.ctkr.org, where you can learn more about us. Please support us, people of God. Please support us with not only your prayers, but also your financial support as well. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If any of you would like information concerning the church, concerning the churches that we cover, just information, if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come minister at any of your ministerial engagements, as you're on our website, go to our Contact Us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Also want to let you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join my husband for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Amen. And on Thursday nights, you know where I am, 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. Love to see you there. And you can hear every broadcast, even in our archives, at www.ctkr.org. Amen. Also, we do have Facebook pages. Please go to my Facebook page, WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Go there, like me. Let me hear from you. Let me hear what God is doing in your life. Amen. Let us just give some shout-outs. Amen. Or you could go to my church page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and do the same thing. Want to hear what God is doing in your life. Amen. And glory to the Most High God. Those are the announcements for this evening. Now, we're going to pray, amen, and then while we're preparing for prayer, please go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament, verse 6. One more time, Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 2. We're going to start at the 6th verse. Amen. Amen. I'm going to allow you to turn there for a few moments. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Now let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for life. I thank you for your hand of mercy, your hand of anointing that has been upon my life. God, I thank you for the people that you have assigned to this ministry. I thank you for the people that you have assigned to listen to the prophetic atmosphere. God, I thank you for each and every one of them and that your hand is upon their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, even now, God, I'm asking that you would empower your people to begin to produce in the kingdom, to produce in this season, to produce fruit, spiritual fruit, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking right now that you will put a spirit of boldness on the inside of your people, that they will begin to speak boldly of the name of Jesus, that they will go forth in your works, in your power, with demonstrations, signs, wonders, and miracles, that they will go forth preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, that they will go forth ministering hope and life to people that are lost in Jesus' name. Father, I'm asking now that you would encourage the downtrodden heart, that you would lift up the downtrodden head, those that are on the sick bed right now. We speak healing and life to them in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now that you would begin to enlighten this word that I will begin to read. Father, let your Holy Spirit begin to enlighten this word. Bring revelation. Bring understanding, God. Help us to become closer to you. Help us to understand your heart, your mind, Father, as we begin to go forth in your word in Jesus' name. God, I'm asking that we, your people, cry out to you the more, not for more things, but for more of you, for more of your glory, for more of your power, for more of your anointing, so that we can fulfill our kingdom destiny assignment that you have laid upon us since the foundations of the world. In Jesus' name. Father, I bless your name. I glorify your name. I worship your holy name. Even now, God, touch the minds of your people. Give them the mind of Christ. You said in your word, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Strengthen our minds now. God, break the back of the enemy. Break lies and old religious traditions and old standards that never had your stamp of approval on it. In Jesus' name, Father, begin to birth these spiritual babies now. Begin to awaken in our spirits. Begin to breathe upon the gifts that we've allowed to lay dormant on the inside of us. Breathe life into them now in Jesus' name. We call forth all ministerial gifts. We call forth the anointing. We call forth the prayer warriors. We call forth the prayer intercessors. We call forth the men and women of God. We call forth those who have backslidden. We call them forth now from the north, south, east, and west. We call forth the unsaved, God, from the north, south, east, and west. We call their names now. In Jesus' name, we give them praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We thank you for all that you're doing and what you're about to do and what you've already done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Right wherever you are, man and woman of God, please just give God some praise with the fruit of your lips. Hallelujah. Just open up your mouth. If you're new to this show on today and you're new to salvation, I'm just asking that you would just begin to just say, thank you, Lord. Just begin to bless his name, how good he is to you. Just say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for traveling mercies. Whatever it is that you are grateful to him for, just give him glory in that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Glory. Amen and amen. All right, people of God, let's go forth in the word on this evening. Colossians chapter 2, starting at the 6th verse. This is coming from the writer Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to those churches in Colossians, Laodicea. And we're going to start at the 6th verse, and we're going to read down as such. Amen? Amen. Come on, let us read. I'm coming out of the New King James Version, and it says this. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. I just want to do some encouraging on tonight, people of God. In fact, how I want to do this, just to bring some clarity tonight. Amen. I'll be going back and forth between the New King James as well as the Message Bible, just for understanding and clarity. Why are you doing this? Because the Bible says, in all thy getting understanding. And most of the time we get caught up in how people deliver the message. We get caught up in emotionalism of the message and the vibe that's going on and the music that's going on around us and how the people are responding around us. We kind of get caught up in certain things like that. We tend to. And we end up forgetting that there is we kind of end up missing the true heart of what Jesus is really saying in his word. And then we also miss how to apply this word to our life. Amen. And so often I see, and I know for many of you, you probably see the same thing. We have a lot of people that love God with all their heart, all their mind and their soul, and they're good people. But you realize, amen, as you speak to them, that so often they do not have true clarity or really full understanding of the word of God. And we have a lot of people that are doing a lot of quoting of the scriptures, can quote the whole Bible, almost verses and passages verbatim. But when it comes to actually delivering the word with understanding and clarity, they're lacking therein. Amen. And one of the things that I want to do, and I've even asked the Lord, help me to be able to minister effectively with clarity and understanding. It's important that people walk away with understanding who Christ is. Amen. Those who want to know him, to understand who he is and how to apply this word to their life. It's more than just talking the usual lingo of church lingo. And those of us who have been in church a long period of time, we know the lingo. Even when we weren't saved and fully walking therein in the power of his resurrection, we still knew the lingo. But when you try to take that lingo outside of the four walls and use it with those who do not know him, you have to fully understand how to apply his word and be able to present his word, repeat that, and walk away with something. Amen. And so tonight I want to be able to not only encourage you in whatever situation you may be in or wherever you may be in your walk with God, I want to encourage you tonight. Amen. And he says here, as we start off in verse 6, he says, and this is Paul talking, he says, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. This is the first thing. As you received him, walk in him. I'm going to say that again. As you have received him, walk in him. Walk in him. But are you demonstrating the life of Jesus? Are you different from those around you? What is it about you that's different from the everyday Joe? Are you really demonstrating? Is his light, L-I-G-H-T, shining in your life? Are we seeing the fruits? Are we seeing his fruit upon your vine? As therefore have received, as you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Amen. In fact, Thessalonians 4 and 1 says this, Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. In other words, tonight's message is going towards those of us who have been saved for some time. The baby saints, we want you to be able to partake of this as well. Prepare yourself, amen, and that you don't make the mistakes that many of us have made. If we who have been saved a while can make the path clear for you, amen, I pray that you don't fall and stumble like some of us have, but that the path, you have used our mistakes, you have used our life lessons to be able to avoid the pitfalls. Amen? And that's my heart on tonight. But for those of us who have been saved for quite some time, the Bible says here in Thessalonians that we should abound more and more. In other words, if you still are operating at the baby stages, you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and someone still has to feed you with the milk of the word, then something is out of order in your life. He says here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1, it says, brethren, we urge and we exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more. In other words, we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. As you overcome, as you persevere, as you mature in the things of Christ, we should see that maturity. We should see more love. We should see more light. We should see more submission. We should see more obedience. We should see the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life. We should see your ministry, whatever that may be. We should see that in operation. We should see things about you manifest as you walk in him. And if we're not seeing those things, and if someone has to continuously encourage you, and if someone has to continuously still be reminding you who you are in Christ, and someone has to remind you where you came from, and this is what you have been doing and what you should have been doing, and it was okay, if someone is still trying to pat your hand and pat your shoulder, it's going to be all right. Come on. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's time for you to mature up. It's time for you to do support God and say, okay, God, I'm not seeing what I need to see. I'm not seeing the fruits. I'm not seeing your word manifest in my life like it should. So somewhere I've gotten off course. Somewhere I've allowed the enemy to take me somewhere. Somewhere I've allowed my flesh to begin to burst something in the atmosphere, and now I'm eating the fruit of that thing. Somewhere my speech has been producing some things that ought not to be. If I have to still be reminding you that you have power, you have victory, if your leaders have to constantly be shaking you and calling you and lifting you up, and you've been saved for some time, it's time to grow up. It's time to go forward. You need to ask yourself some questions. Huh? Just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, we should not have to keep going back over things that you should have already obtained during your foundational period. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. I used to hear the saints, the old saints would come to me when I was newly saved and beginning to learn of Christ and begin to understand that I had an anointing on my life. I didn't fully understand what the purpose of it was, but I knew that there was something different about me. The one thing that they would constantly remind me of is walk in. They would tell me, walk in it, baby. Walk in your power. Walk in your ministry. Walk in your anointing. And I would never fully quite grasp or understand what that really meant. But what they were really truly saying, and I see it now, is that they were telling me, walk in what Christ has given you, the authority that he has told you about. Increase your faith, increase your trust, increase your obedience. Whatever he has told you to do, walk in it. If he's told you to let that thing go, whatever that is, let it go. If he's told you to kill something in your flesh, then kill it. If he's told you to go forth in ministry or whatever your ministerial gifting is or whatever your purpose is, step forth in it. Step out of the boat. Go forth. Walk in it. That's what they were talking about. Whatever God has given you, whatever Jesus has given you, accept it, walk forth, receive it, and walk forth in it. As you go forth, you will see his hand manifest in your life. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So he's saying, you receive Christ, walk in him, walk in his power, walk in his authority, walk in his word, but you need to be rooted. And Jesus needs to run deep. Excuse me. We have a lot of surface people today, Christian as well as unchristian. It's a lot of people that are surface people. You don't see people who are genuine hardly anymore. It's almost like a needle in a haystack, finding someone who is true, finding someone who does not have a hidden agenda somewhere. For those of us who walk in God or who are saved, amen, we need to be rooted. We have a lot or many. I don't want to put people in a generalized category, but we have some who refuse to allow their roots to go deep in him. They just have just enough roots to last them on a Sunday morning where they shout and jump and roll and spit and fall out, do all that. We got to pick them up, bring them back so they can fall out again. And they go through all of that, and then by the time they walk out the door, whatever that was taught in the pulpit that Sunday is left right there on the altar. And they go right out the door acting the same way, believing the same way, moving the same, nothing, in other words, nothing has changed. The roots are not deep. So when the test, the trial comes, you get to see the flesh instead of seeing Christ in them. And also, people of God, too often, we are responsible for that because for some of us, sometimes, not all, sometimes, those of us who have been saved for a number of years, we feel that we've heard it all. We heard all the messages. We've heard all the cliches. We've heard all the 7 points, the 7 different types of revelations, and we feel as though we already got a corner market on what we should and what we ought to act and what we ought to hear. So when we're sitting there under the leadership, the man and woman of God, when we should be taking and eating of that word for our life, putting that word in our life, applying that word to our life, we tune him or her out because we already know what they're going to say. And we'll sit there and quote the scriptures with them as they're talking and be like, uh-huh, amen, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, preach, go forth. And the minute, but we have no intention on putting that word and hiding that word in our heart, and we leave out the same way that we came in. Because we allow I already know this. In fact, I probably preached a message like this myself. I just had a different twist on it, but here it is, and I'm going forth anyway, and I know what I need to do. And then when that test comes, that wind blows, that shaking comes, then we revert back to what is familiar to us. He said, listen, right now you've received Christ, walk in him. No one should be still reminding you who you are. No one should have to remind you of your power and authority. Somewhere you got to tear down pride on one shoulder and the flesh on the other. Rooted. Your roots should be going deep now. You should be able to pray your own self through some things. You should be able to find scriptures or know enough scriptures to be able to minister to your own self. You should know enough scriptures now or know enough word, amen, where you can minister to somebody else and help them through. Established in the faith. Your faith should be at another level. If you're still operating at the same faith level that you had when you got saved some years ago, got to go back to the basics. And some of us, we just refuse to grow up. We refuse to mature. Prophetess will be transparent for a moment. There was a time in my life, there was a situation that I would kept going round for round. I'm praying, I'm crying, I'm fasting, I'm going through. Lord, I don't understand. I'm just trying to be. Things ain't. But you know what? We ask God, and as I was asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, I need you to talk to me. I need you to tell me what's going on. And the whole thing is, if you seek him, the Bible says if you seek, you'll find. I was seeking, and God was answering, amen, but I was looking and expecting for him to answer in a way that I wanted him to answer. And I think for somebody out there, God has been answering you, but it has not been coming the way that you want it to come. So therefore, you've been fighting it or ignoring it or refusing to acknowledge it, and you're still saying, well, God, you're not speaking to me. God, you're not talking to me. When in fact he's speaking, he's talking very clearly. He's giving you the answers that you have been asking him for, but it has not come, amen, in the package that you wanted to come before you reject it. For myself, people of God, it was a situation, amen, where it was coming through an individual that I was familiar with. I was close to this person, and they were telling me, they were giving me the answer that I've been asking God for, but because I was close to that person, I was just kind of, yeah, but, until finally the Holy Spirit had to tap me and said, listen, I don't know how he talks to you, but this is how he talks to me. He said, listen, daughter, I've been giving you the answer. You keep asking me, and I'm giving you the answer you're seeking. He said, you got to be open to however I send the answer. And I'm saying that for someone tonight, you have to be open to however God sends the answer. See, sometimes I'm going to hang my hat here for just a minute, and then we're moving on. Sometimes we're just too saved for our own good. Sometimes we're just too holy for our own good. And we feel that because we're anointed, we preach, we teach, that when someone comes along who we feel, listen now, who we feel that we're better than, a little bit more holier than, a little bit more righteous than, notice I'm talking all flesh here, that when they come, when God gives them the word to speak to us, we cast it down. You're not on my level. You don't know what I'm talking about. You need to come up to where I'm at. Excuse me? You have to be open. You have to be humble enough. You have to be humble enough to be able to hear the word of God, to discern his voice in whoever and however he chooses to send it, whether that's through the word, through an individual. Sometimes it comes through a television show that you're looking at. Sometimes it comes through the radio. God's word can come through any place. I've been brushing my teeth at times, and the word will come to me and say, this is what I was talking about. And then the word that came, people of God. Now listen, let me say this also. Every word that comes from the Lord is not all about the peaches and the cream. It's not all about him telling you how wonderful you are, how anointed you are, how his hand is on your life, how the devil is scared of you. Sometimes his word comes with the switch or with the paddle. Sometimes his word comes as a rebuke. Those who he loveth, he chastises. Only words that God is speaking to you is about how great and grand and wonderful you are. I got to ask, I need to ask you, is that really the Lord talking, or is that that flesh of yours talking, pumping you up? Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, people of God, I don't care if you're a leader on the highest mountain or in the lowest valley, we all have some things in this flesh that are not pleasing unto the Lord. And if the only words that are coming forth to you is how wonderful and great you are, how grand and glorious you are, how all the kingdoms belong to you, you don't have to do nothing but speak the word, and it's not challenging you. God's not challenging you. The Holy Spirit's not talking about those secret things, and not everything can be a blatant sin, but the Bible says that we must lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. If he's not dealing with you and the weight, amen, or maybe the little secret sins, the hidden things that we don't think nobody knows about, well, that's just me. You know, as long as I repent, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, go forth and, you know, look what happened when I touched them, and look what happened. Look, I'm preaching to the highest mountain. And by the way, look at my red bottom shoes, and look, you know, all that mess. Listen, if he's not dealing with you about your flesh and always talking to you about your glory, then I have to beg, are you really listening to the Spirit of God? Because God will come and chastise some things. And as I was being transparent, God was coming to me, chastising me for some things, saying, listen, I've been dealing with you right here. You need to let that and this go. And not that I was out blatantly sinning, but it was the fact that I didn't want to let some things of my personal flesh go. Things that he said, you know what, this is a weight. I need to let go of this weight, daughter, so I can do this in your life. But I wanted to hold on to that weight because I actually liked that weight. I was comfortable with that. I was familiar with that. And I would keep using that as an excuse as why I can't get up out this valley because, you know, this situation. I was trying to blame it on everything else. But God said, listen, right here, the Holy Spirit was like, I'm talking to you right here. I've been sending you the word, but you've been trying to reject it because it wasn't coming the way that you thought I ought to come. You need to be open to receive however I decide to come. And that part of humility and being rooted, getting back to this word, being rooted and built up in him and reestablishing, I had to reestablish my faith. I had to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I really, truly didn't realize that this is what I was doing. Or I didn't want to realize it. Some of us, we do know what we're doing, but we just don't want to we don't want to deal with it. But we're miserable where we are. God wants to elevate you. God wants to push you forward. There are people that are waiting for you to get through whatever you're going through. They're waiting for you to get to the other side. They're waiting for you to get victorious. They're waiting for you to get on the mountain. They're waiting for you to come up out the valley so that you can lead them out. But as long as you stay down there suffering and going on and going through and having that pity party and why me, Lord, and I don't understand and how long, God, or you're trying to relive your glory days when God is pushing you forward. You got to be rooted. You got to be built up with him. You have built up in him and established in your faith. Your faith must be increased, but in order for your faith to be increased, it has to be challenged. Somebody say it with me. My faith has to be challenged. And as you've been taught, still in verse 7, and as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, with everything that you are going through, we have to remember to give thanks. To remember to give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God concerning us. We must give thanks in all things. Because it could have been worse. Truthfully, it should have been worse. For some of us, it was worse. But as you said, thank you, he gave you the strength to sustain in it. He gave you the strength to continue to trust him more until he brought you out of it. How else You cannot be that effective, anointed person that you are today unless you victoriously gone through with ministering, amen, some time ago to one of his spiritual sons. And he said to him, he said, listen, you can't keep using, you say that you're in this office. You can't keep saying you're in this office and all we see is defeat in your mouth. Your words are what's defeating you. You can't keep saying that you're this. Woe is me. I don't know. I'm like this. It ain't going to happen. Oh, God, help me. I don't know. I'm just, Jesus. But yet you want to claim you have the victory in the next sentence. He said, you got to overcome. This is your test right here. You have to overcome. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have to overcome in this place so that when you stand up and be able to speak, then you can speak with authority and those demons have to bow to you. But you can't claim authority in this arena if you don't get the victory. They don't have to bow to you. Things. What are you saying, prophetess? I'm saying God takes us through some situations in our lives so that we get the victory in that area over the enemy in that area so that when we deal with him in another place, we already have the victory. And then God gets the glory, amen, instead of you being. So when you tell them to bow in the name of Jesus, they already know you've gotten the victory back here, so they have to bow or succumb, amen, to the authority that is within you. But if you never get over, get through, come out, you'll never get that victory. I don't care how much you binding and pleading the blood. And they know you don't have authority in here. Therefore, they don't have to listen. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. What? Who are you? What? You ain't got the. You can't tell me what to do right here. You don't have this arena. You don't have this authority here. And as you've been taught in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it, constantly going forward, growing in it with thanksgiving. Songwriter wrote, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of Jesus Christ concerning you. Everything give thanks. And I mean, people of God, sometimes we have to honestly remind ourselves what we need to be thankful for. Because I promise you, the winds can blow so hard in every direction all at once, you could barely catch your doggone breath. But somewhere in that, you got to find a way to say, Lord, I thank you. He said, verse 8, why are we doing all of this? You might be saying, okay, why do I really need to do all of this? I've done it. I've given thanks. I'm giving praise. Then you have to really ask yourself, have you really... Even for myself, people of God, even as I minister, you know, I try not to minister always out of head knowledge. A lot of things God has brought me through, and the same for you, God has brought you through some things. Excuse me. And he continuously teaches me, just like I believe he's continuously teaching you. But the thing is, while we're being rooted in him, while we have to walk in him, while we have to really know him, and I don't mean know of him. I mean, we got to know him. If you never knew him any time before, we got to ask God to renew our love for him. Ask God to renew our love for his word. Huh? We need to ask God to just let me get on your agenda. Sometimes we just need to go on that consecration, go on that fast. I know I don't like that. Anybody who's up here talking about they love the fast, I believe they're lying. Because no one, at least in my circle, and I've been around some places, I don't know anybody except those who have, you know, drifted off into some occultic stuff. But I don't know anybody that does not like to turn down a plate, that does not like to nowadays we call it consecration. We don't even like to turn down half the plate for half the day. We want to eat. We want to enjoy. We want to fulfill this flesh. Anything we want to put our hand to, we want it. Because we have done that, because many have gotten away from the fasting because many have gotten away from prayer and seeking his face, gotten away from the word, huh? Then all of a sudden now we've become fat, but we've become fat in our flesh. We become fat in our desires. We become fat and lazy in our appetite. So now, and you can see the results in it, because every day, we have people losing their lives. We have people taking their lives. I don't want to even say losing, taking their lives. And they're sitting up here in big churches and can't even hold it together. We have, and I do know people are talking about, well, mental health, mental illness is real, and this, that, and the other. You know, and that's a whole nother. I'm not taking a side right now in that, because that's not the message that I'm dealing with or topic that I'm dealing with tonight. But I'm looking back, and I remember just over 20-some years ago, you didn't hear about preachers, true men and women of God, killing themselves. You just didn't. Hmm? Because they had, it was about relationship with God. It was about accountability to others. Hmm? Right now, we're in a place where we want people to tell us how great we are. We're in a place where we equate our holiness with how many venues I can minister from, how many platforms I can reach. We equate our blessing and our anointing to how much money I have, how many followers I have. The greater my following, the greater my kingdom, the more anointed I am. And the devil is a liar. Hmm? He's a liar. That's nothing but flesh being pumped up. And the reason why I say that, because we have now, we have ministers, men and women of God, we have people that become motivational speakers, have changed their name from pastor to life coaches. Where in the Bible does it say life coach? Where in the Bible does it say motivational speaker? I know y'all, some of y'all are going to get mad at it, but here it is. It's not in there. It's not. We're making up offices, talking about this is the office of this, that, and such and so, and it's not in there. It's not in the Bible anywhere. We got to get a full understanding. We got to get back to what is Jesus saying. What does his word say? We seek after knowledge, but we don't seek after power. We don't seek after anointing. We don't seek after relationship. All we seek after is the more knowledge I can get, the greater I can be. Even in some of our speeches, we try to preach so above the heads of the people that truthfully, they're not really walking away with anything. They're just walking away with a bunch of fluff, topping a couple of cherries on top, and maybe sprinkle some nuts on it. But people are not walking away being equipped, empowered, knowing their authority, knowing their place, going back home to the same mess, going back to the same situation, secretly going back to their closets, dealing with struggles that only the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ can break. And we wear masks on our faces knowing that we're struggling, and we've lost connection, and we've lost discernment, and we've lost prayer and intercession, and we've lost the anointing. For some of us, the anointing is waning because we have not gotten back to the basics. And because of all of this, the Bible says here in verse 8, listen, beware. You know the truth. And your faith is established in him. He said, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, if a message or messages or the theme is being preached about everything but Jesus Christ and him crucified and him risen from the dead and him being glorified and seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you have the same authority living on the inside of you, and that this is what you ought to be doing, saying, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching deliverance, touching those who are broken, showing them the love of Christ. If you're not getting that message that is going through, that line, that thread that needs to be going through the ministry, if that's not being taught, and if everything that's being taught is about how you can be the better you, 4 steps to the better me, 5 steps to financial freedom, six steps to greater kids and family, telling you about prayer, not telling you about supplication, not telling you about holiness, not telling you about righteousness. I'm not saying nothing is wrong with having programs. Nothing is wrong with being able to empower the whole total man of the whole total person in Christendom. Nothing's wrong with that. We should know about finances. We should know how to get our families together. We should know about being able to empower our kids. But without anything else, is nothing but vain, empty deceit and philosophy according to the tradition of men. If we're holding up our tradition greater than the word of God, then we need to take several seats. If we're using the word of God to push our own agenda, push our own motives, push our own beliefs, create followers, many means, then we need to take several seats. And we need to get back to the altar and find out really what our whole purpose is. What are we doing here? Our goal should be to equip and to empower, to help people to understand who they are in Christ and watch them mature and grow and complete their assignment, not to be hanging on to us for the rest of their lives. Each one teach one. Jesus said, freely have you received, freely give. The same person that taught you and poured into your life, you should take that same and pour into someone else's life. Beware. And I mean that more so now than ever. We have a lot of false religion, false teachings that are going out among the body of Christ. And folks are believing this thing hook, line, and sinker. Not using what they see and begin to balance it against the word. Because if you don't know the word, you can't discern properly. The enemy, hey, the enemy knows how to make things look glorious too. The same when Moses threw down his staff, Pharaoh's magicians threw down their staff as well, and theirs turned into snakes as well. The enemy has tricks, baby. He's got good tricks. He knows how to throw on a fantastic show. But you have to have enough God in you and enough Holy Ghost on the inside of you, spirit of discernment, that you can be able to discern what is good and perfect, what is of God, what is of man, and what is straight from the pit of hell. And you can only find that in his word hidden in you. You can only find that through relationship, prayer, seeking after him, loving on him, turning the plate down sometimes, getting alone with him. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. I want to take that into, and I did say this, I was going to go into a different translation, and that's exactly what I want to do tonight. Let's go. Last few minutes I have. Amen. And I want to pull this out of the Message Bible. I think it'll bring a little bit more clarity. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's read this out, the Message. Amen. He said, in verse 8, just want to make it clear. He said, listen, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words. A friend of mine and I used to talk about, they said, whenever you got to take a thesaurus out and a dictionary out to understand what people are talking about, and intellectual devil talk, so philosophical that people are agreeing with stuff and don't, it sounded good, it sounded all good, but you have no idea what the heck they were saying. Now, hear me and hear me well. We should always have more knowledge. You should always be in a place where you're always improving yourself. We should always be looking to improve ourselves greater, improve our language, improve our speech, improve our writing skills, anything, you should be doing better. You shouldn't just accept the status quo. Don't get me wrong in that. I'm all about education myself, and I believe it for everybody. But when it comes to the Word of God has always been simplistic. And even with even those of us who are very and highly intelligent, the Word of God comes, it should be just as intelligent for you to understand, but as well for those who only have a high school education. Everybody should be able to get something out of God's Word. God's Word should not be difficult. It should not be hard to understand. Men make it hard to understand, so people walk away defeated, deflated, because they're like, oh, God, I don't think I can do this because this seems so hard. But it's not hard. The Bible says my yoke is easy and my burden light. So watch out for people who always try to dazzle you with big words, dazzle you with the big conferences, dazzle you with the intellectual devil talk, to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. In other words, you say, well, the Word of God says this. Well, they're trying to find every scripture to prove you wrong. But it's always one or two scriptures. But when you read the whole passage and get a full understanding, you realize that that is definitely not what it's talking about. That's definitely not what the Word is talking about. That it's completely contrary to what this man or this woman is trying to give you. Anything that talks about the more money I receive, the greater I am, the more money you pay, the greater you shall be in the kingdom, the devil is a lie. He said, the least shall be the greatest. First shall be last, last shall be first. He didn't say you could pay your way into heaven. Can't nobody pay their way into heaven. He said they spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. They hold the traditions of their church, the traditions of their beliefs, and they always focus on, a lot of super spooky smoke and mirrors. Amen. He said, but that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God, it's expressed in him, so you can see and hear him clearly. In other words, God always makes himself clear and perfect for you so that you can fully understand. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you right now for the grow in our faith, be established and rooted in you, and begin to walk our assignments out, that we lay aside everything that has been easily besetting us, God, sins and weights, and going forth in you. Forgive us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole. I'll serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, first of all, welcome to the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry welcome you. We are praying, amen, for you, that God will lead you to a Bible-believing and teaching ministry that will train you up in righteousness, that will mature you, amen, in the kingdom of God, and that you will fulfill your assignment. Amen. Listen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Let me hear from you. And do please, 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 we ask that you will pray about becoming a vision partner and a financial partner of this ministry, once again, to help us push the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Listen, I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I want to see you again next week for another broadcast show of Prophetic Atmosphere. I will see you again at 7 p.m. next Thursday. Be blessed, people of God. Have a wonderful evening.